Lord, we thank you that you deserve all the glory. Amen. God deserves it. And we'll talk about that in the message, how not only has God deserved it, but Jesus Christ has earned the right to be our mediator, the peacemaker between man and God. So we'll get into that in the message. Don't want to get ahead of myself, but so grateful and thankful that we have to worship something. So grateful and thankful that God has touched our heart so that we want to worship God. It's not a struggle. It's not a it's not something that's religious or out of tradition, but it's the desire to have that heart-to-heart relationship with God. So it's a beautiful thing when it's out of relationship and not out of religion to worship God. As always, I want to thank you for your giving. And thank you so much, even in the midst of COVID and we have the holiday season. We just want to thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. If you're on your desktop, you can give. You go to southbayaoc.com, push the giving icon and give accordingly. If you're on your cell phone, you same thing, southbayaoc.com, and push the three bars and then give accordingly. If you're still writing checks like me, make it payable to SBALC, and then you can mail it to 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279. That's SBALC, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. And just want to, again, thank you for your giving, and it's been a blessing to the church, and it's been a blessing to many in the world, the missionaries and that we support that are touching lives all around the world. Bible study, I would love to see you Bible study. It's just been great. We're still in the book of 1 Kings. This Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30, we will be in 1 Kings chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11. And we see the pivot. Solomon was on the right track, and then we see that he goes off track. And it's very interesting. It's nothing that you and I haven't done, but the biblical principles allow us to see how we are to conduct ourselves. And it goes to show that you can wise. Solomon was the wisest man ever lived, but even with all that wisdom that God gives us, even with the word that God gives us, we still have to operate in obedience each and every day. So please, you want to join us this Wednesday night. Beautiful study in the book of 1 Kings chapter 11. And then thank you for those of you who've emailed and given us the privilege to pray for you. Email life@southbayaoc.com, life@southbayaoc.com. Two quick announcements as well. New members is today. So if you're interested in being a member of our beautiful fellowship here, just send me an email, life@southbayaoc.com, life@southbayaoc.com. I'll get you the Zoom coordinates. It's from 2 to 3 today, and it's just going to be a beautiful time of learning about South Bay Abundant Life Church and fellowshipping with you all around the Word and what we believe here specifically out of the Word. And if you have questions, we always do Q&A with the new members class. And then lastly, we have a giving opportunity with Teen Challenge International. It's one of the ministries that we support, and during the midst of COVID, they found themselves really, really short, and so they just asked if we would give to them. If you have an additional offering, $5, $10, it makes a difference, and just label it Teen Challenge International, Teen Challenge, TCI, and we'll make sure that they receive it. And so we'll be taking offering for them all month, and then we'll get it to them. We'll write them a check from the church at the end of the month and just support them. They're helping young men and young ladies that have been hooked on drugs, addicted to drugs, and maybe been in abusive relationships and find themselves without a place to live. Teen Challenge International has places all around the world, and they take in youngsters. It's called Teen Challenge, but it's really young adults and even older adults, and help them to get their life together. It is a beautiful ministry that we've supported over the past 3 or 4 years, and it makes a huge difference in their lives. And we've seen it. They would come here and minister and give their testimonies. It's a beautiful cause to support. I believe it is time to get into the Word. So let's go ahead and just pray, and then let's just jump into the Word. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. God, we need you, no question. No question we need you this morning, God, no question at all. We ask that you breathe onto your Word, breathe into us, breathe the breath of life into us, Lord, through your powerful Holy Spirit, God. We need you, God. Thank you that your Holy Spirit and your Word teaches us how to live, how to give, how to forgive, how to love, how to trust. Each and every aspect of our life is covered in your Word. So we ask that you speak to us through your Word, Lord. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, God, and we're trying our best to navigate daily through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, and decaying world. We need you so much, Lord. God, help us today. Speak to us through your Word. Give us our instruction. God, remember, we're begging, asking for revelation that leads to transformation and daily application. Bless your people to hear. Bless your people to receive. Bless your Word. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us this morning. Teach us, Lord, so we can live your Word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Family, if you would, open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. We'll go through, we should get through 1 Timothy chapter 2 today, and I'll only be going through verses 1 through 8. We should get through today, and then we'll have communion, and then we will dismiss. please be engaged. You should have your physical Bible. It should be turned to 1 Timothy, physical Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. You should have something to write with. And you see me always, I even have notes on my notes because God is always speaking. You want to write those things down so you don't have to try. And what was said, what was God speaking to my heart during worship? What was God speaking to my heart during prayer? Who was God asking me to pray for? What was God instructing me to do? Write it down and then refer back to it. Stay engaged for this next 45 minutes, next 40 minutes. Be engaged and be dialed in and in tune to what God is speaking to us this morning. So we've been going through 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. So you should already have in your notes that God has already challenged us to pray for everyone and be grateful. That's what it tells us. Look in verse 1, it says, I'm begging you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. That's all of mankind. So God has instructed us through 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 that we're to pray for everyone and be grateful. Don't pray for someone and be grudgingly or be upset or be angry. That's not the way God has called us to pray. God is calling us to mature and be grateful and pray for everyone because that's what God has done for us. And that's what people did for us when we were lost or we were off track or we were just had offended someone. People were praying and they were grateful that we would come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So family, make a note, the assignment doesn't change. The assignment's never going to change. Paul said, first of all, praying for everyone and being grateful, that assignment will never change. What do we do today? What do we do tomorrow? It's the same assignment. Why is it the same assignment? Because God doesn't change. Make a note that in Malachi 3 and 6, he says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Let me say it again. Malachi 3 and 6, make a note of it. You can look at it later. He says, for I am the Lord and I change not. God does not change. So since God doesn't change, our assignment doesn't change. The assignment, pray for everyone and be grateful. And then in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, he said, pray for everything and be grateful. Pray about everything and be grateful. Pray for everyone and be grateful. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 7, God tells us, pray about everything. Pray without ceasing and be thankful. For that's the will of God concerning us, that we're praying and we're thankful. Man, that's a game changer in your life. It's a game changer in my life. And then in Luke 18 and 1, he says, pray and don't give up. Pray and don't give up on your life. Pray and don't give up on your family. Pray and don't give up on your siblings. Pray and don't give up on your boss. Pray about everything and don't lose heart. Don't faint. Don't give up. Keep trusting. Keep believing. Leave the details to God. So make a note, God doesn't change. And we found out that in 2 Peter 3 and 8, that God is outside of time. So God doesn't change. God is outside of time. So even when our times change, when our year changes, God doesn't change. Remember, the scripture says, 2 Timothy 3 and 8, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. It's no different. God is outside of time. And so here we are. Make a note. let me say that again. And you write this down and you look at it and you study it for yourself. That entire 2 Timothy chapter 3 is very powerful. But 3 and 8, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Make a note that the country we live in, America, is only 244 years old. America's only 244 years old. So to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So in God's eyes, America's not even a day old. Hear what I'm saying. The country we live in God's eyes is not even a day old. And so the culture wants to say this about God and say that about God. That's as ridiculous as a newborn baby, not even a day old, trying to tell its parents what is right and what is wrong. That's ridiculous. So I'm not going to hell for this culture or what this society says. If they want to call sin progress, they're on their own. I'm sticking with the word of God. They're not even a day old and have the nerve and the audacity to tell God what's right and what's wrong. It's ridiculous. As your newborn trying to tell you what's right and wrong on their first day of birth. They're not even here. They've barely taken a breath. And in God's eyes, America is still, it's not even a day old. 244 years. Be careful. And we have to stop allowing people that are spending no time with God to tell us about the character and the nature of our God. Let me say that again. We have to stop allowing people who are spending zero time with God to tell us about God. We got to get it directly from this word. Thank God he left us the word so we can know about the character and the nature of God. So God tells us to pray for everyone. God says, pray about everything and be grateful, be thankful. Never stop praying and be thankful. And then keep praying and don't give up. And family, I'm encouraging us every day to do this. And see, don't make this a religious thing where you put God in a box and you got to pray for these 5 minutes. And then, no, it's a relationship. I pray every day because every day is different. Things change overnight. That's why I pray every day, because stuff happens and I'm seeking God and I'm asking God for his wisdom to be led, to be guided, to be directed. What to say, what not to say. How do I interact with my spouse? How do I interact with my kids? Each day change. How do I interact with my church? How do I lead my church? How do I lead my family? How do I pray for my siblings? How do I pray for my mom? How do I pray for my friends? How do I pray for this government, this city? How do I pray? I'm asking God daily because things change daily. It's not religion. It's a relationship with the true and living King, Jesus Christ. And God knows everything. And so I'm asking God to help me, to lead me. God, since you know everything, help me with some things, Lord, and with all things. And that's why I'm encouraging us to pray every day. Don't make this a religious thing. Do it out of relationship. I don't see how we as believers could leave the house without asking God, at least praying to God for protection, for safety. And for those of us that have kids, are you serious? As crazy as things are today, you're not praying for your kids daily? Don't tell me you're complaining about them and you're not praying for them. Seriously? Get in the word, live the word, apply the word, pray for everyone. I just believe in practical, common sense Christianity. Don't make it weird. Don't make it something that it's not. Pray as the word says and be grateful for everyone. Pray about everything and be grateful. Practical. It should be measurable, observable. I'm praying for my family every day. I'm spending time with God every day. I'm trying to hear from God every day. Practical, common sense Christianity should be measurable, should be observable. Don't make it mystical, magical, or weird. Just stick to the basics. Surround yourself with people that are spending time with God. And you should have somebody like that that you can call who you know is spending time with God when you need some direction, you need some advice. In the scriptures, it says, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Have a few people around you that you know that are spending time with God when you really need to have a question answered. Stop going to people who are spending zero time with God and trying to find out what God is speaking into your life and what direction you should go if you're trying to live godly. Verse 2, it says, for kings and for all that are in authority, underlines who we're praying for, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Underline peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Saying pray for everyone. And especially those that are in authority, kings and presidents and governors and mayors, and it's a lot going on. God's calling us to pray for them. God, we need help so we can lead a peaceable and quiet life. And I'm saying in verse 2, think about that. Practice that in your home, right? Praying for everyone in your home and see if the peace of God can fill your home. Let me say it again. If there's no prayer in your home, it's probably no peace in your home. If there's no prayer in your home, it's probably a lot of finger pointing and complaining in your home. It says pray for everyone. And then those in authority, children, youth, you should be praying for your parents. And watch the peace of God fill your home, because it's going to fill your heart when you realize how tough it is to be a parent. And you're able to allow the peace of God to rule. Make it practical. Start in your home. Parents, you should be praying for your kids, as I already said, and watch the peace of God, because then God can reveal things and allow you how to minister to your, have a heart to heart with your kid and not a head to head. Stop battling with your kids. Intellect. No, go for the heart. But that's through prayer. God shows you how to go for the heart, how to speak to their heart and not their head. You're having these intellectual battles with your kid to see who's right and who's wrong. That's the furthest thing that God wants you to do. God wants you to pray, receive from God, and then go touch the heart. God will give you wisdom on how to talk to your kid, how to love, how to serve. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But if you're not praying, you're not going to have that peace, because you're not going to have the instruction on how to conduct yourself, even in your own house. And you want to point fingers. Remember, the problem isn't with people, it's always with God, because I don't want to humble myself and pray for my kids. I want to badger them and tell them that I'm the parent. They need to listen to me, where God says, well, I'm actually Father God, your father, and you need to listen to me. Isn't that something? I want them to listen to me, but I'm not listening to God, right? It's a typical double standard. But God's calling us to pray. And in verse 3, it says, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. Make a notice, it's good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Family, it's time for us to mature and do what's good and acceptable in the eyes of God, in the presence of God. See, this is practical stuff. God says you're praying. And God says it's beautiful. That's what good means. It's beautiful and it's agreeable. So it's a beautiful thing when we pray for others. In God's eyes, it's a beautiful thing. Come on, family, hear what I'm saying. We have to do what's pleasing in the eyes of God. Make a note, as we were going through the Old Testament, we went through the book of Judges. And in the book of Judges, it was chapter 21 and verse 25. It's actually at the end of Judges. And it says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every person did what was right in their own eyes. Let me say it again. That's Judges. And you look it up when you get a chance, family. Judges 21:25. It's at the end of the book of Judges. And it says, in those days, there was no king, right? They didn't have a leader. Thank God that we have the King of Kings. We don't just have a king which supersedes a president or a governor. We go right to the King of Kings. And here's the King of Kings saying that we should be praying because that's what's good, and praying and being grateful because that's what's good and acceptable in God's eyes. That's what's beautiful and agreeable. As opposed to in the book of Judges, where there was no king, they made their own rules and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And it was in the book of Judges, if you read it, it was a sinful, sin-filled mess. Let me say it again. The book of Judges, we went from chapter 1 to chapter 21. It was a sinful, sin-filled mess because everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Family, I don't have to tell you, do you know how destructive and deceptive and dangerous it is to do what's right in your own eyes? Let me say that again. Do you know how destructive and deceptive and dangerous it is if we all just did what was right in our own eyes? God help us that we never get there. So this is what's good and acceptable to God, in the sight of God, our Lord. And family, we have to make a note. We have to make sure that we're loyal to our God and our Savior and doing what's right in God's eyes. And not only that, we should be filled with joy when we're doing what's good and acceptable in the eyes of God, which is praying and being grateful and being thankful. Our loyalty has to be to God. And here's why. Look at verse 4. And this shows you the heart of God. This shows you the character of God. This shows you the nature of God. Let me read verse 3 and 4 because they go together. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The truth, make a note, the truth is that Jesus Christ died and resurrected for us. That's the truth. And rescued whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me tell you what it's not saying. You have to understand it says who will. Underline will, because in the Greek, the Aramaic, that means God says it desires. Because you have people who take this out of context and try and come with the doctrine of inclusion doctrine, then use this scripture saying, look right here, God says everyone's going to be saved. That's not what this is saying. You got to look at the origins of the word, right? In the Greek and the Aramaic, it's saying that God desires. God's heart is that all would be saved, that we wouldn't just settle for the temporary. We would go with the timeless and the permanent, Jesus Christ, and be saved through Christ. That's God's desire. Make a note. We talked about it last week. It's in perfect agreement with 2 Peter 3:9. It says, God is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward all of us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Peter and Paul are on the same page right here. Peter spent time with God. 3 years with Christ, 40 days after he was resurrected. Peter spent time, and he's telling you, this is the heart of God. God doesn't want anyone to perish. God wants us all to be saved. And then here's Paul repeating that fact. Paul is saying, God desires all men to be saved, to be rescued, and come into the knowledge of the truth, which is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, resurrected, and saved us. That's the heart, that's the character, that's the nature of God. God's not out trying to get us. God wants us to be rescued and saved. It's not that God doesn't want you to have any fun. God sees beyond the temporary. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. That's what this is saying. That's God's desire. But we have free will and we make our own choice. God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's put it out there. That's his desire. And he's made a way through Jesus Christ. So we look at the heart of God. And then we have, again, we have to stop listening to people who are spending no time in the Word of God, no time with God, trying to tell us about the character and the nature and the heart of God. The scriptures are clear. God put in motion a salvation plan for you and I and for the world. And then we have to make a choice. We have to see beyond the temporary. We have to see beyond the mirage. We have to see beyond the illusion and see what's going on in the spiritual realm. And we know we're in the midst of spiritual warfare. God's trying to save us and Satan's trying to deceive us. And we're in the middle of the spiritual warfare and we have a choice. Joshua put it very clearly in Joshua 24, I believe it's in Joshua 24, 15. It says, choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have a choice. Remember, family, the greatest election that will ever take place is you selecting, you choosing Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. We have a choice. Facebook family, you want to push the share button. Someone needs to hear this word this morning. How much God loves them, how much God cares about them, how much God desires that they would come unto the knowledge of the truth of a resurrected Savior. And some people are out living their truth. Your truth is only right in your own mind. Let me say, and God's truth and our truth are totally different. Make a note. The scriptures are clear in the book of Isaiah. It says that our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth, are God's thoughts than our thoughts and God's ways than our ways. Our truth is only right in our own mind. God's truth is what's real, is the reality. And people will find that out the hard way who choose to reject Christ. Your truth is only real in your own mind. Make no mistake about that. Then we look at verse 5. It says, for there is one God. Underline that. There are a lot of little gods. There's a lot of false gods, but there's only one true and living God. People have trouble with that, right? But see, in their mind, because that's where their truth is, it's right in their mind that it has to be more than one God. Okay. Here's the word right here. I'm choosing the word, right? People don't spend any time with God and then want to, in their own mind, say it has to be more than one way so I can live any kind of way I want to. I can do what I want to because I know that there's a God and he understands my heart. People live by half-truths. They live by cliches. They live by scriptures out of context. I'm choosing to live by the word of God. Here it is. For there is one God. Underline that. There is one God and one mediator. Underline mediator. Let me tell you what the mediator is. The mediator is the intercessor, and we already know Jesus Christ is praying for us, praying that we understand that we are conquerors in Christ, praying that we understand that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, praying that we will understand and the desire that God wants all of us to be saved and to go for the timeless and not the temporary. Jesus is praying for us right now. Jesus is the mediator, but not only an intercessor. Jesus is the restorer. Jesus is the reconciler. And Jesus is the peacemaker. That's what the word mediator means. Let me say it again. The mediator. There's only one true God and one mediator. There's only one person that stands between us and God who mediates, who's an arbitrator, is like a judge, right? And he's choosing and he's selecting and he's saying, this is correct. This isn't correct. And this is what Jesus does. He's praying. He's restoring. There's only one person that can restore us back to God. There's only one person that reconciles us back to God. There's only one Prince of Peace that gives us peace with God. And an intercessor that's praying for us to be reconnected to God. And that is the man Jesus Christ. Make a note of that underlying man, because it's the dichotomy. It's the dichotomy of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was 100% God, but he was 100% man. Make a note of it. Jesus has earned the right to be the mediator because Jesus left heaven, came down to earth, died for us, then resurrected, right? And then ascended back to heaven. He's earned the right to be the mediator. Because when we stand before him, we're not going to be able to say, Jesus, you don't know what it was like to be on earth. No, he's earned it because he came from heaven and then came to earth, died, resurrected, and he had to deal with everything that we had to deal with. The betrayal, the rejection, the death, disease, violence, love, success, failure, hunger, life, everything that we have to deal with, Christ had to deal with. And that's why he's there mediating right now. He's the only way back to God. He's the bridge that takes us back to God because he's earned it through his death, burial, and resurrection. And you're not going to be able to tell, and see, he was 100% man, so you're not going to be able to tell him he didn't know what it was like. You don't know what it's like to live on earth. Yeah, he's earned it. See, because if he didn't, and you know, because some people say, well, he couldn't have had the option to sin. He did. He was tempted. Satan tempted him three times. He fought Satan off with the word. Because if Jesus didn't have the option to sin like we did, then he couldn't tell us anything about living down here on earth. Jesus, you didn't have the option to sin. You can't tell me what it was like to be tempted all the way to sin. But that's not true. He's the mediator because he did have the option and he didn't sin so that we could be saved. He's earned the right to be the mediator. And we'll stand before him and he judges us. And you have to be wary of people who say, well, I'm cool with God. I just don't do the Jesus thing. Well, you're not. How can you get to heaven if he's the mediator, if he's the restorer, if he's the peacemaker, if he's the reconciler, and you can do God, but you don't do Jesus? You are ill-informed. You're living by a half-truth. You're living by a cliche. You're living out of scriptures taken out of context because the scripture is clear. There's only one peacemaker, restorer, reconciler back to God, and that is Jesus Christ. Be wary of people who tell you, me and God, we have our own relationship. I'm just spiritual. Be wary of that. That's not the word of God. And then think about this. It says that Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, is praying for us right now. He's mediating for us right now. So think about this. Make a note of this. You think your false gods are praying for you right now? The little G's, the little G-O-D's, you think they're praying for you? They're not praying for you. They're manipulating you. But let's be clear. Remember, I'm not a politician. I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm a pastor. I got to give the word. This world's not playing with us. I'm not going to play with you either. You think these false gods are praying for you? They're manipulating you. You think your money and your power, your greed, you think your political party is praying for you? They're manipulating you. You think your logo or your brand? You think your job? How about your hobby? You think your hobby? When you leave your hobby, you think your hobby's praying for you when you go home? You think your job is in your brand and your logo? How about your sports team? You think your sports team is praying for you? They're not. There's only one God that's praying for us. How about your entertainment and celebrity idols? You think they're going to make peace between you and God? You counting on such and such, I'm not going to use any names, but you know the celebrity idols and actors and actresses that we look up to. You think they're going to bring peace between you and God? It's not. They're not a peacemaker. Jesus Christ is. He's a true and living God, and that's who we need to be loyal to. Don't get me wrong. We appreciate all those other things, but we don't make them our God. We can appreciate them. But we don't make him our God because there's only one mediator between man and God, and that is the man Jesus Christ. And you underline man because he was 100% man when he walked this earth. And he had to deal with everything we had to deal with. And he's earned the right to be the mediator in our life. Since he's earned that right, we need to repent, return, and run to God because that's God's desire. Let me say it again. So what do? In addition to our praying, and we repent, we return, and we run to God because the door is wide open. That's God's desire. That's God's heart. God doesn't discriminate. We do. The word is clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's unconditional love, because God couldn't put any conditions on it, because we couldn't have met any conditions to be saved. And that's why when he tells us to love our enemies, it's unconditional love. God didn't put any conditions on you, and we have the audacity to try and put conditions on people to love them, as if God put any conditions on us, nobody would qualify. That's why Jesus can look you in the eye and say that you're to love your enemies, and you're to bless those that curse you, and you're to do good to those that hate you, and you're to pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you. That's Matthew 5, 44. And then he says in verse 45, by this you show yourself to be the children of God. That we can love, that we can bless, that we can do good, and that we can pray for those who mean us no good. Unconditional love, no conditions attached. And that's what God did for us. And it gets better, family. Let's go on and look at verse six. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Look what God has done for us. And that word ransom in the Greek, Aramaic, it means an exchange. Oh my God. So here's Jesus. He's the mediator, right? He came, resurrected, and then he ascended, died, resurrected, and ascended. So he's earned the right to be the mediator. And not only was he the mediator, he was the ransom. He was the ransom. Something had to be exchanged so we could be set free. He said, God, I'll do it. And he left heaven and he came to earth, was disrespected, beat, killed, crucified. Then he resurrected. Saved all mankind. Make a note. The ransom. The ransom was resurrected so we could be released. Let me say that again. Those are three R's for you this morning. In addition to repent, return, and run, the ransom was resurrected so we could be released. We were held hostage. We were held hostage by sin, death, hell, and the grave, family. Mankind was held hostage. All of these things had power over us. That's why Jesus had to come and be the ransom. Sin, hell, death, and the grave was holding us hostage. Kept mankind in bondage before the ransom was paid. Now, we've seen the movies. I was watching one this weekend where they went and robbed a bank and they holding hostages, and you let us get out with the money, and we're gonna let them free. They hold them for a ransom. They hold them hostage, but we see the visual with that. But see the visual with this. We were held hostage in the basement by sin, and then Jesus came and died and resurrected, and we were released. He was the ransom. He's earned the right to be the mediator. He was the ransom as well. Oh my gosh. Get the visual. While mankind was chained to sin and death and hell in the basement, Jesus Christ, the ransom was paid. And when he resurrected, we were released. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. Okay, so what do we got? We got the ransom, resurrected, so we could be released and rescued. Make a note of that, family. That's why he's earned the right to be the mediator. You're not going to stand before God and point your finger in his face and tell him what you will and what you won't do and what you think. Your truth is only right in your own mind. Get into the word of God, the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ransom, resurrected, released, and rescued us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be rescued. And he said it was done as a testimony in due time. That's the greatest testimony ever told. The greatest testimony ever told at the right time. And now is the time, family, when the world is looking for answers. It's time for us to tell the testimony of the ransom, resurrected, released us so we could be rescued. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's the right time for that. It's the most powerful testimony you will ever hear. See, there had to be an exchange for our soul. Make a note of this. Before Jesus Christ, before the ransom was paid, we were spiritually, we were broke and bankrupt. Let me say it again. Jesus had to be the exchange, had to be the substitute, had to be the ransom. Because without Christ, we're spiritually broke, busted, disgusted, and bankrupt. We have no spiritual currency to offer God. We have none. We are broke, busted, and disgusted without Christ. We had no spiritual currency to exchange for our soul. It's not going to happen. We can't save ourselves. We have nothing. We had nothing but sin to offer for our soul. And you can't exchange sin for a soul. Something has to die in order for us to be saved. And that was the ransom, the Savior, Jesus Christ, who's earned the right to be our mediator. We were spiritually bankrupt. We had counterfeit spiritual currency. We're walking around thinking that we got it going on. We got counterfeit spiritual currency. Nobody's going to take that. God's not going to take your counterfeit spiritual currency. It's not going to save you. The ransom had to be paid, and that's through Jesus Christ. Thank God for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make a note, the ransom came from heaven, died on earth, resurrected on earth, released us from sin. It had to take place on earth because that's when initial sin took place on earth. Died, resurrected on earth, released us, rescued us through Jesus Christ. The curse of sin was broken. Make a note, here's a revelation. The curse of sin was broken when the ransom resurrected. God! I love God's word. So God challenges us to pray. Jesus Christ is the mediator and the ransom. And as we go right into communion, just think about it. And here's Christ who sets the example. Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 11:23, which says on the night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks. Family, hear the word. See how it goes together. Christ modeled everything that Paul and Peter and the other apostles are telling us to model. In everything, give thanks. Jesus Christ is being betrayed. And what does he do? He gives thanks. Why? Because he sees the bigger plan of God. Family, stop looking at what's in front of you and see the bigger plan of God that's ahead of you. Leave the details to God. We have to be humble and obedient and leave the details to God. We think that we're going to manipulate something to work on our behalf, but we're being manipulated by that same thing that we think that we're going to manipulate. Jesus Christ humbled himself. Paul tells a story to the church at Corinth. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. So make a note. Those things don't even go together. But that's the nature of God. Why did he give thanks? Because he knew that he was going to be the mediator between God and man. He saw that down the line. Why did he give thanks? Because he knew he was getting ready to pay the ransom, which in Corinthians is also tells us how we've been bought with a price, because Jesus Christ was the ransom for the exchange for us to be saved. How can you give thanks on the night when you betrayed? Because you see the bigger picture. The ransom's getting ready to be paid. God's people are going to be released and rescued because of the resurrection. That's why Jesus Christ could give thanks. When he had given thanks, he broke it. Go on and elevate that which represents his body, the bread. And family, communion is about forgiveness, forgiving others. It's about you stop condemning yourself and understand what God has done for you. That's what communion is about. Say, Pastor, I'm not a member of your church. Can I take communion? Absolutely. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, please take communion. Absolutely take communion. It's not an exclusive thing. It's open to everyone who's accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior. You say, Pastor, I haven't. Then ask Christ to come into your heart now, forgive you for your sins, help you to be the person that he created you to be. This is what we've all done. It's nothing mystical or magical. It's a choice to choose Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So just think about anybody that you need to forgive that's wronged you. And you've been holding them hostage. Boy, the devil can make a fool out of us. Yeah, you're holding somebody hostage. That's the only power you have, that you're not going to forgive them, and it's eating you alive. And then we read the scriptures where we see that sin was holding us hostage, and God loved us so much that he released us. That's why God says, love your enemies, and you can't even release them. God doesn't give us a way out. Love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. That's the mandate. That's the command from God. God's forgiven us. He sent the ransom so we could be free. We couldn't even pay our way out. We're spiritually broken, bankrupt. Our spiritual currency was counterfeit. And God sent Jesus Christ to rescue us, pay the ransom, and now we're free. We've been released. And then Jesus Christ is the mediator, allows us to go back to God. He's a peacemaker. We have peace with God now through Jesus Christ. And you're telling me you can't forgive someone? So you're making yourself greater than God? You can't forgive, but God can. There's something wrong with that. If you're looking in your heart and that's not you, then you need to don't take communion, because you don't understand what this whole thing is about. How Jesus Christ paid a physical price for you and me to be free. He died on that cross. He got beat. He got slapped. He got whipped. They nailed his hands and his feet. He was crucified. The spear went through his side. That was the ransom. He did it because he knew it was the ransom. He was the substitute. He was the exchange. And he knew in the third day, and he told him, I'm going to resurrect on the third day. And then he released us and rescued us when he resurrected. That's why this is so. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't you ever forget what Christ has done for you. Put your life in biblical perspective. On Sunday, December 6, 2020, put your life back in biblical perspective, regardless of what's going on in the world. Understand what God has done for you, and you pray for everyone. You give thanks. You pray for everything. You give thanks. And you don't stop praying and you give thanks. And you keep praying and you don't give up. Put your life back in biblical perspective. Christ is coming back for us. Christ has paid the ransom. If nothing else, be grateful and be thankful that it wasn't on you to pay your own ransom, because you were spiritually broke and your ransom was nothing but counterfeit, filthy rags. That's all we had to offer. Our ransom, counterfeit, filthy rags. Trying to get clean, swimming in a sewer. God, thank you. Elevate that which represents his body. I am so thankful this morning for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we can all be real. Now, I'll be real. I'm so glad, because I know my spiritual currency was zero. That spiritual bank account to save myself was in the negative, overdrawn, jacked up, not even an account, nothing. Filthy rags pretending to be currency that gets us nowhere with God. Go and eat that which represents his body. Verse 24, and we had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. God, we remember you. December 6, 2020, God, we remember what you did for us. Communion reminds us, the Sabbath day reminds us that God is real. Do this and never forget about God. Thank you, Lord. Because as we're dealing with this year, and we know you're outside of time, God, but we're in time and we're dealing with the death and the life and the births and the pink slips and the job and the business and the ministry and the family and everything. We're about to lose it, God, but you said, Paul, stop right there. Put your life back in biblical perspective and do this in remembrance of me. Understand that God is real and Christ is coming back. That's why we take communion out of obedience to the command of God. Even in the midst of our struggles, we pause and say, God, thank you that you're real. Thank you for paying the ransom. Thank you for being our mediator. I don't have to try and talk for myself when I stand before God. The peacemaker is going to step in and say, he's made peace with you, God, through Jesus Christ. He's made peace with you through me. That's your son right there. That's your daughter right there. They've reconciled through me, Lord. You don't even have to speak up. You transition right into the presence and Jesus. Oh, yeah, he's made peace through me. He's at peace through the Prince of Peace. He's reconciled by the blood of the Lamb. He's made the choice. She's made the choice. They took the ransom. They took advantage of the ransom that was paid. They didn't try and pay with their own filthy rag currency. Verse 25, in the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, this is a cup in the New Testament in my blood. What's the New Testament? The ransom, resurrected, released, so we could be rescued. That's the New Testament, family. We're not under the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament. Let me say it again. I've said it a number of times. Maybe you'll get it this time. The ransom, resurrected, released, so we could be rescued. This is what this is right here. It's a new covenant. Thank you, Lord, for the new covenant. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes, which is saying he is coming back for us. He's coming back for us. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of our Lord. Which means that you take it and you don't understand that Jesus Christ has died for your sins. Or you don't believe it. Don't take communion if you don't believe it. That's what I'm saying. It's not a plaything. It doesn't mean I'm not struggling. We're all struggling with something. Yes, by all means. Yes, we all got sin. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. He's a ransom. So I take this communion. And I thank God for the way out through Jesus Christ, the way back to God through Jesus Christ in the midst of my struggles, because we're all struggling with something. But we thank God for the ransom. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in and drink that which represents his blood. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. What more can we say, Lord, but thank you for being the ransom for us. As you're calling us to pray, as you're calling us to do what's good and acceptable in the sight of God, as we see the desire of God's heart is that we all would be saved. And then we have Jesus Christ mediating for us, who's earned the right to mediate for us. And not only is he the mediator, he's the ransom that was exchanged for us. He's earned it. We thank you, God, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And we love you for it, Lord. Thank you that you allowed us to put our life back in biblical perspective this morning through communion, the ransom, resurrected. So we could be released and then rescued. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you, Lord. We call on you now and we thank you for rescuing us. Jesus Christ, thank you for paying the ransom. We didn't have enough. Matter of fact, we didn't have anything to offer. And you paid it all. We love you for that. Our loyalty is to you, even in the midst of our struggles. Help us, God, to navigate daily by living your word. Thank you for the revelation and the transformation, God, and it's our choice for the application. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, family, thank you so much for just being engaged this morning. I hope you have notes on your notes. If you have a prayer request, a prayer need, any questions even about the message this morning, send us an email, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. I look forward to seeing you at Bible study. We're going to continue the message. God is speaking on Sundays, Wednesdays. God is speaking every day. We just have to make sure we're listening. But on Wednesday night, we'll specifically be in 1 Kings chapter 11 from 6:30 to 7:30. The Zoom coordinates are on the website, southbayalc.com, southbayalc.com. And again, want to thank you for your giving, whether that's desktop, phone, or check. And then remember, if you would be so kind as to donate or $5 or $10 to the Teen Challenge International, make that as well and just specify that it's for Teen Challenge International. If you're paying via the website, then just send us an email saying this $10 is for Teen Challenge International. So we'll make sure we'll send it where it's to be or supposed to be or where you would desire for it to go. And then new members today, 2 to 3. If you don't have the coordinates and you desire to be a new member, life@southbayalc.com. life@southbayalc.com. I'll send you the Zoom coordinates, and that's from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Remember, family, let's stay serious with God, praying and fasting based on Mark 9:29. Jesus said, some things that you deal with, you're not going to be able to overcome them. You're not going to be able to conquer them unless you're praying and fasting. Families, if it's ever been a time, a season for praying and fasting, and I'm just saying maybe one meal, even like Sunday mornings. In addition to Sunday mornings, maybe you do Thursday morning. But that's your choice as God leads you. But there are some things we deal with that only overcome through praying and fasting. Love you, family, South Bay Abundant Life Church. Love you. Bless you. Let's go on and pray, and we will dismiss. Lord, we thank you for your word today. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, family. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss Wednesday night. An incredible chapter. 1 Kings chapter 11. It's going to be a blessing. The biblical principles are incredible. Love you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Be blessed. I'll see you Wednesday. Lord willing, see you Wednesday and then next Sunday. God bless you.